And our phone lines, they are open to you right now. If you've got a question for our retirement planning professionals from Claus Financial, telephone number 608-321-1310. That's 321-1310. Love to get you on the air this morning. Joined this week by CJ Claus and Eric Schwartz. As mentioned, they come to us from Claus Financial, the website, ClausFinancial.com. That's Claus, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. Our telephone number 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Claus Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. As mentioned, CJ and Eric joining us this morning. CJ, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing really good. Great to talk with you. And Eric, how have you been?
I've been great. I'm excited for our conversation this morning.
It's going to be a good one. Yeah, we're going to be talking about preparation, of course, for retirement and kind of the game plan and debt. Oh, we're going to talk about debt. So I will get to that in just a moment. A couple of things to keep in mind as we do the show. Don't forget the phone lines are open. Love to have you join us at 608-321-1310. If you've been to the website recently, head on over there, ClausFinancial.com. That's Claus, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. Great resource to learn more about the team at Claus Financial. You can learn about the separate divisions. You can also sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. That's available to you at ClausFinancial.com. Telephone number 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Claus Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Don't forget, also, you're going to use that number a little bit later on the program with the Claus Quiz Question of the Week. Your chance to win a fantastic prize. This week, no exception. Our friends from Claus Financial have provided a $25 gift card to IHOP. And we'll tell you a little bit later on how you can win with the Claus Quiz Question of the Week. Just a little tip, though. Pay close attention to the program, because just about every show, the question and answer both come up during the program. And before we get rolling on this week's topic, let's actually roll back, take a look back at last week's show and get the question and answer there as well.
Yeah, so our question last week was true or false. You may be eligible for a Social Security survivor benefit as a spouse if you were married for at least 9 months before their death. And Patty from Oregon knew that the correct answer was true.
Fantastic. Congratulations to Patty. And again, you too can be like Patty, play close attention and pay close attention, and also pay us to pay close attention to the program. Chance to win again later on the show, a $25 gift card to IHOP. So, CJ, let's talk. So when you're helping folks prepare for retirement, I got to guess debt is one of those big topics that come up quite a bit. And, you know, I think people say, well, how do I get there? What's the game plan? These are really important conversations, aren't they?
It is, yeah. I mean, when you do what we do for a living, you come to realize that cash flow management and kind of, we'll call it, financial behavior patterns are really critical. Now, unfortunately, a lot of these financial behavior patterns get set at actually a very, very young age. So this could be the way that your parents handled money. It could be an extreme experience of poverty that you grew up with that has caused you to be a huge saver. And truth be told, there's strengths and weaknesses to all of these different shades of the way that you handle cash flow management and saving for the future. We've seen people who, you know, maybe were children of the Great Depression who have millions and millions of dollars but won't spend a penny because they're so fearful. And that's an extreme. But then we will have other people who, you know, grew up with parents that never saved anything, and they just go, I don't know, I heard you can live off Social Security, so I just spend everything. Mm-hmm. So you get the idea. These are extremes that get set at an early age. And so we just want to tell you, hey, while each approach can have strengths and weaknesses, we, given what we do for a living, we get to see some behavior patterns that really work out well and have high probabilities of success over long periods of time. So we're going to talk about that relative to debt today. So debt's one of these weird things that has a way of sticking around, and for many people, it can even follow them into retirement. So you should know, in our view, the best case scenario from what we see across thousands of households that we've worked with is that heading into retirement debt-free really is ideal. Now, some people go, but what about the mortgage interest deduction? And I've heard blah, 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 blah. Stop. We do this for a living, right? If you don't, then just take a pause. I'm not talking about, you know, tax management or anything like that. I'm just saying, from the overall approach heading into retirement, if possible, being debt-free really does give you the best leg up and give you freedom and choice and opportunity and all of that. Now, that's not to say that you can't retire with debt. It's just to say if you're looking for the best option, do your best to not have debt heading into retirement. So, of course, people say, well, if I'm not there or if my plan isn't on par, what do I need to do to make some adjustments? So I'm going to go through kind of four things here that you can consider. Number one, set up a plan to reduce and eliminate your debt. It starts with a plan. If you don't want to take our word for it, you can listen to Dave Ramsey. I think he actually, he might be syndicated on this station as well, if not other stations. But Dave Ramsey is a big proponent of eliminating debt to create financial freedom, and then it can also create generosity in you. So set up a plan. Number two, consider making some lifestyle changes. You might need to tweak your spending habits and set some realistic goals. A lot of folks find success by being aggressive with debt payments first and then shifting to focus on saving for the future. So we would actually say set it on automatic. We have found that often people's desires don't match their cash flow. Like, I really do want to be generous, but I just can't give, right? Or I really do want to pay down my debt, but I just don't have money to do it with. And we would say, well, then your desires aren't matching your behaviors, and so you need to make it automatic. So at first of every month, you make your large mortgage payment. Number three would be to pay down debt potentially in lieu of additional retirement savings. Now, one way where we might slightly differ from Dave Ramsey is we really do like people getting their company match, but I'll be frank with you. I don't want to argue Dave on this. I see his point, which is like, you've got to have a ruthless attitude about debt at times. I mean, ruthless. Like, I just got to get rid of it. And if that means you don't save into the 401k for a little bit just to get the debt paid off before you retire, we would say, again, heading into retirement without debt is the best option. Now, again, talk to a professional advisor, talk to your accountant, make sure that it makes sense across your overall financial picture. But generally speaking, given that we are retirement planners, I can tell you those of our clients that don't have debt in retirement tend to have a lot less stress and live a lot more free and are a lot more generous with their kids and grandkids than those that have a mortgage. And then finally, there's an option just to work a little bit longer. So we have plenty of clients who do this where they maybe got remarried later on in life, got a home with that new spouse, ended up with a mortgage and worked, you know, instead of 65 to 67 or 68, just to make sure that they haven't had enough time to get that mortgage eliminated. So there's kind of four practical things you can do to try to eliminate debt before you retire.
Talking this morning with our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. You can learn more online, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Great website and resource to learn more about Kloss. Also sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. Of course, I know in the mornings, we all know this, sometimes you step out of the car, maybe you're grabbing coffee, dropping the kiddos off or the grandkids off at school. You miss part of the program, you can always listen back at klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Their telephone number is 608-442-5637. So, Eric, that's obviously a lot to consider that CJ laid out there. How much debt are retirees actually carrying these days?
That's a great question. And the short answer is probably a lot more than you might think, especially when we start thinking about not only mortgages, but student loans, car loans, credit cards. Seems like you can kind of borrow for any purchase these days, even a $100 purchase online. You can say, oh, I'll pay that over 4 months. But the Federal Reserve Bank of New York reported that U.S. household debt hit a record $17.94 trillion in the third quarter of last year. That's up 0.8% from the previous quarter. And mortgage debt alone was $12.59 trillion. And data from Credit Karma, which this is from April to June of last year, shows that baby boomers specifically, who are, you know, either retired at this point or close to it, they carry an average auto loan debt of $23,000, credit card debt of over $8,000, and mortgage debt of about $197,795. They also, this surprised me actually, that they also have an average of $45,101 in student loan debt, again, as they approach retirement here in the near future.
Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. And as we kind of break through this, it's pretty eye-opening there. And we, Eric, when we kind of look at this stuff, what are some strategies to avoid then to not be adding more debt?
Yeah, like CJ was saying, debt tends to be something that'll stick around for a while. And the problem, especially in a higher interest rate environment, like we've seen over the last couple of years compared to, you know, the previous 10 or 15 years, it tends to accumulate over time, even if you're not adding to it. But in terms of practical tips to kind of address some of this, the first and I think simplest is stop adding to your debt. So leave those credit cards at home, avoid this impulse spending. Don't create more of an issue than you already have. The second one would be know your interest rates. So focus on paying off those high interest debts first. These are often your credit cards. And I mentioned just a moment ago that we've seen, starting in 2022, we saw interest rates spike, and then, you know, they've come down a little bit, but they're still higher than they were, like I said, the previous 10, 15 years before that. So you may not notice, but your interest rates, a lot of them are not fixed. They're variable, especially your credit cards. So as interest rates change, your interest rate also changes. So more than likely, you're paying more interest on your credit card now than you were 3 years ago. So take a look at those interest rates and prioritize those high interest debts first. Now, you don't have to do this by yourself. So there are some pretty cool debt payoff tools out there. I mentioned Credit Karma earlier. CreditKarma.com has some great calculators. Calculator.net is another place you can go to find out, you know, hey, if I make this payment every month with this interest rate, when will I actually have this paid off? It goes back to what CJ was saying earlier, to make a plan to pay off debt. The last one is pay your bills on time. Late fees add up fast. They can hurt your credit score. And they're really just, you know, adding to your issue. And it's a pretty simple way to avoid some additional fees.
Really good tips there as we talked this morning with CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. They are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. If you got a question, love to have you join us this morning. Phone number 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Love to get you on the air. Again, joined this week by CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. You can learn more about Kloss Financial online, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. And their telephone number 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, the telephone number 608-442-5637. We'll be talking about different types of debt with CJ and Eric. We will do that and take your call next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA. Talking with our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, Eric Schwartz and CJ Kloss. Of course, you can learn more about Kloss Financial on their website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. You can learn about the team at Kloss Financial. You can learn about the separate divisions. You can also sign up online for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. That all available to you at klossfinancial.com. Telephone number 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. And again, their telephone number, 608-442-5637. Talking this week about debt and heading into retirement. And left off, we were just kind of scratching the surface a bit on interest rates. And what are some of the things we should be looking for when it comes to different types of debt, CJ?
Yeah, good question. So we're going to kind of go through some different types of debt, secured debt, unsecured debt, and different categories that our clients commonly see. But before we do, I just found it ironic. Eric was just talking about, it seems like you can finance just about anything today. And then yeah. One of the ads, you probably caught this, Sean. One of the ads was like, oh, you can finance. And I won't be particular because I want to, you know, but it. One of the ads right before we came on was referencing being able to finance something. Yes. And I just found it ironic. Okay, moving on from that. Yes, so different categories. Credit cards. So according to LendingTree, the average interest rate is 24.26% right now on credit cards. And if your credit isn't great, that rate can jump up to 27.5% or even higher. So obviously, credit cards are what are a category kind of broadly that we call unsecured debt. Whenever you hear that, everybody, just you sometimes it sounds overcomplicated, but think of it in terms of, hey, if you default on making your credit card payment, can I, as the bank or the credit card company, come and repossess something that you own to then reduce my risk, to sell that repossessed item to then pay off some of the debt? And the answer is no, not with credit cards, because typically you're buying like groceries and other items that you can't repossess, you can't get title to. That's the key these days. So we call it unsecured because if you default, there's no recourse. I hope that helps everybody. And of course, that's why the interest rate has to be so high to mitigate that risk. The next category would be home loans. Ideally, we want to see little to no mortgage debt as you approach retirement. We already talked about that. But as of the first of the week in February of 2025, the national average for a 30-year fixed rate mortgage is 6.9%. And for a 15-year fixed rate mortgage, it is 6.01%. Listen, everybody, in historical norms, this is actually not bad rates. It's just a few years ago, it was like, I think the 30-year was at 3 and the 15-year was at 2, right? And so our brains are used to these insanely low interest rates. And so now when we gravitate back towards a normalized interest rate environment, everybody's panicking. Truth be told, these rates are pretty normal. What I would say to you is, it doesn't really matter what the rate is, being debt-free is the key, because when you have debt, you have outgoing cash flow. When you don't have debt, you don't have that required outgoing cash flow. So those are the home loan rates. And then we're going to get into auto loans. So auto loans, in January of 2025, Edmunds.com listed the average car loan interest rate for December of 2024 as 6.6% for new car loans and 10.8% APR for used car loans. So again, somewhat of a historical average what we're seeing here on the car loans, but what I'd say to you is, listen to that used car loan space. I mean, listen, if you've heard me talk about auto loans, I'm actually a big proponent of getting vehicles that are lightly used because there's about a 30% decline often off the new car purchase price. That's not always true, by the way, but that's typically true. So get a lightly used vehicle. The problem with that is now, if you get a lightly used vehicle that's had a 30% reduction off the MSRP and you don't have the cash to buy it with, the interest rate on that thing could be 10 to 11%. So you get the point here. It's like, oh man, if I'm going to buy that used vehicle, I may want to either have cash to buy it with. That would be our first choice. Or if I don't have cash to buy it with and I need a vehicle to get around, then we get into what we call the length of the loan, or what, you know, in finance or bank terms, they would call the amortization timeline. So unbelievably, you can get auto loans these days that last like up to 8 years. For those who don't know, that is insanity. And the reason it's insanity is because the vehicle will be depreciating often faster than you are paying down the debt. Therefore, if you ever go to sell that vehicle, you might be upside down, meaning the vehicle is worth less than you owe. Mm. So what we would say is, listen, if you're forced into using an auto loan, although we would prefer that you don't, then pay it off quickly. Make it like a 2 or 3 year loan. And if you go, but I don't have the cash flow for that, then I would say you might want to get a cheaper vehicle. Mm. Because pushing out that amortization timeline further, yes, it brings down your payment, but it also reduces the amount of equity you will have in that vehicle over time. So if you're going to get an auto loan, just be very aware of the interest rate and try to get it paid off as quickly as possible.
Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. They are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. The website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. So, CJ, what about, it's all in the news, student loans. What do we need to know there?
Yeah, student loans are in the news right now. Hey, a couple things real quick on those auto loans. Interestingly enough, the average auto loan right now, going back to auto loans, is 70 months. Wowzers. Again, I just cannot emphasize to you all who are listening enough to say, if you are doing anything on a vehicle loan over 5 years, I personally just think that's ludicrous. I would much prefer that it's 3 years or less. And my first choice for you, for your financial future, would be that you pay for that vehicle with cash. And what that means, because you go, how could I do that? Well, it means you need to pay yourself $300 or $400 a month for the next 3, 4, 5 years to build up the resources so that when you need to go buy a vehicle, you write a check for that vehicle. What you will find is that when you are writing a check that took you 3 or 4 years to save to buy that vehicle, you will buy a cheaper vehicle than you would have if you used debt to finance it. Yes, let that sink in. When you actually pre-save and use your own money and you write a check for a vehicle, you will on average buy a cheaper vehicle than you would if you financed it. Because something happens with our brains when we are using debt to finance the purchase of something where we just don't make as good of financial decisions. Okay, to this final category of student loans, which as Sean said, is really in the news right now. I'm not going to get into all the details of why, but there's just a lot of questions right now on what's called the SAVE program and what's going to happen to it in the future and if deferments are going to go away, yada, yada, yada. But federal student loans for undergrads currently have a 6.53% interest rate for the 2024 to 2025 school year. Grad students, on the other hand, see rates as high as 8.08% on private loan or on those grad student loans. And then private student loans can range from 3.5 up to 16.5, depending upon your credit score. Now, be cautious. These ideas of like refinancing and consolidating with somebody outside of the student loan space, this can sound really attractive because you end up with one payment, it's consolidated, but you often are losing some of the federal protections that exist. So be careful there. Or if you're part of what's called a PSLF program, it can eliminate that. So be careful when we just hear people go, I'm just going to, you know, move it to a private lender and consolidate it all and move it over here. We go, whoa, 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 whoa. It's not that we're opposed to that, but you want to slow down and make sure you're aware of what you're giving up in the meantime. So listen, big takeaway from today is make it your goal to retire debt-free, including the elimination of your mortgage if possible. And don't forget, you still do need to be saving for retirement. But we think just the impact of not having that outgoing cash flow for required debt service payments in retirement, given that we do this for a living, that is more powerful than you think. So make it your goal to retire debt-free.
Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. Of course, they are retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. And their telephone number is 608-442-5637. We'll do the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. We'll also head on over to the Money in Motion Listener Question Corner. We will do all of that next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA. Talking with our retirement planning professionals, Eric Schwartz and CJ Kloss. Of course, they come to us from Kloss Financial, the website klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. One of the cool features, too, I mentioned the website klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. One of the cool features on the website is an opportunity to submit a question to be answered here on the program with the Money in Motion Listener Question Corner. And Becky writes in, my husband and I are planning on retiring next year and our term life insurance will end 2 years later. Does it make sense to replace the policy or let it go at that time? Thanks for your guidance. And that is from Becky.
Yeah, well, Becky, first of all, thank you for writing in. Like Sean says, we love to hear from the listeners and get an idea of what it is that what your questions are, other than just what we go over. And this is a really common thing that we deal with here day to day, because especially with term life insurance policies, those are generally the length of those is generally timed based on your life insurance needs. So it would make sense that your term policies are coming due right around the time you're retiring, because often your needs for life insurance change at that point. So whether or not you want to replace that term life insurance policy or let it lapse or whatever it might be, is going to be based on a few things. Number one, do you still have financial dependence? Do you still have anyone that relies on you for income, even in retirement? So this could be children or other dependents. If not, you know, that may be a reason to let the policy go. But if you do still have dependents, that is one thing that insurance would remain important for. You want to look at your debt and your expenses. So we've talked about debt for most of today's show. But often life insurance is put in place to pay off some of your biggest debts, like your mortgage, or, you know, future expenses. Let's say you want to provide educational funding for your kids or your grandkids. Things like these that could be a burden on your surviving spouse or family members. These are another thing that may cause you to say, well, maybe we want to look at a different policy beyond what we have here from the term policy. Your savings and your assets. So if you built sufficient retirement savings or other assets that would cover final expenses and provide for your spouse and family, life insurance becomes a lot less critical at that point. Your health and the cost of a new policy. So this is a really important thing when you're thinking about replacing a life insurance policy. Often we get these policies in our younger years when it's easier to qualify based on your health. So if you are getting a new policy, especially around retirement, you are likely to see higher premiums, and it just is in general is more difficult to actually get a new policy in the later years. And the last one here is the purpose of your insurance. So was the original policy intended to replace your income, to cover final expenses, cover estate taxes, maybe leave an inheritance? Now is a really good time to reevaluate your financial goals and figure out if life insurance still fits into your goals. Now these are really high level responses and I think pretty lengthy as well. So it's probably helpful to consult with a financial advisor to review your specific situation, determine if you want to, you know, if you want to look at getting another policy, if you even need another policy. And this coincides really well with kind of the overall retirement planning process. So hopefully you're talking to someone as you move into that part of your life.
Great question, Becky, and great answer as well from Eric Schwartz. Of course, Eric Schwartz and CJ Claus are retirement planning professionals from Claus Financial. Learn more on the website, ClausFinancial.com. That's Claus, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. Telephone number for the office right here in Madison, 608-442-5637. Don't forget, no charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Claus Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. You're going to want to hold on to that telephone number now because it's time for the Claus Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. In just a moment, I'll ask you the Claus Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Claus Financial Office at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer, you win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to IHOP. This week's Claus Quiz Question of the Week is this. True or false? Entering retirement with the least amount of debt will give you the most freedom. Is that true or is that false? Telephone number 608-442-5637. First call with the correct answer will win this week's prize, that $25 gift card to IHOP. Don't forget as well, that's Claus Financial's office. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Claus Financial. It is complimentary to you. Their telephone number 608-442-5637. CJ, Eric, it's always great hanging out. You guys enjoy this beautiful day, and we'll do it all again real soon.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
And again, that website, ClausFinancial.com. That's Claus, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. Dr. Marty Greer, she joins us next with Checkout Vet here on 1310 WIBA.